Shaquise back in the studio for another conversation. It's been a while, and like always, he brings such great insights, and I wanted to go through some things with him. It was an article I found, 8 things, little things that say a lot about you, and he's always a very insightful guy, so let's get into that and some AI talk as well, because, of course, he's always the man that brings the social media, you know, media awareness and AI stuff to me. So let's get it going.
Welcome to the Warrior Mindset Podcast. We're your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
Oh man, life is a trip, y'all.
Right.
And life a trip.
I love that you open with that.
Yeah. Life is a trip.
So y'all, catch me up, man. You sound like you've been traveling the world.
I've been traveling a lot lately. I'm super blessed. You know, life is dope. Life is just dope. Life is just dope. You know?
I dig it.
Like, it makes me emotional sometimes because, you know, the more that I mature and the more that I grow, the more I'm put in situations where I have to know myself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the space I'm in now in my personal journey is like, you know, I take all of me in every room that I'm in, right? Like, literally, when I say all of me, I mean from the little kid that grew up in North Columbia in Ridgewood to the kid that was, you know, beat up and then beat mm-hmm. people up, and then the kid that robbed people, and the kid that sold a little bit of drugs, and the kid that was the DJ, and the kid that was in a rap group, Beat Junction Project, and Love Piece of Hip Hop, and Ferret the Czar, and all the things that I am, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I try to, and so, when I think about things from that perspective, it makes you reflect a lot. Like, so I remember I was in Singapore about 2 weeks ago, and I'm walking around Singapore and looking at all these buildings, and shit really looks like Wakanda. It's crazy. Like, you know,
does it really?
In the movie Black Panther, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wakanda is like all these technologically advanced like buildings, but they all have like greenery all over them, right?
Right.
That's how Singapore is.
Oh, wow.
It's wild. It's like walking down. It's like walking in the side of a tech jungle. It's beautiful.
That's really cool.
It's gorgeous. It's very well curated and designed.
Huh.
It's a really, really interesting city state country. That's a city. It's wild. Mm-hmm. But I'm walking around. I'm just looking at all these buildings. And I'm just reflecting on life. And I'm just thinking, like, what in the hell is this nappy-headed little boy?
How the hell did I get here?
Walking around. How did Ridgewood make it to Singapore? What the hell is going on? You know what I mean? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And, like, simple things. Like, I can afford to go get a haircut. You know, I'm going to just go get a haircut in Singapore.
Mm.
I'm going to walk around and find something to eat. That looks good. I'm going to eat that. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, it made me think about times when I was in my teenage years where I couldn't afford gas. You know what I mean? Mm. And I would be like, how can I sneak up on this gas station? And like, it should be this gas station on Broad River Road. I'm not going to say which one it was, but when I was in high school, couldn't afford gas. It was one gas station you can go to where the exit would take you. If you parked at the right pump, you could leave and go right into the neighborhood. So we used to always hit that gas station up for free gas. Cause remember back then, you didn't have to pay in advance.
Right.
Right.
Credit cards weren't really a thing. Yeah.
Right. Credit cards weren't a thing yet. So you can just take the pump off, put it in your car and pump the gas. Right. I know people that are younger, like, what?
But you can't get the gas till I give them my number. Yeah.
It's juveniles like me. That
That's why I did that.
Change the
Thanks,
rule.
Man.
And, well, you know, hey, yeah. You know, we evolve.
Yes.
And, I remember like being too broke to pay for gas, having to steal gas to make it to another day. And now it's like I got enough, you know, I'm not rich by any means, you know, but
yeah, you're not stealing gas though.
Yeah. I'm not stealing gas. You know what I mean? I'm on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, I can upgrade my seat if I want. I'm eating. I mean, I'd be thinking about stuff like that. Like, I'm on a plane upgrading my seat with my seat reclined and I'm the same kid.
Isn't that
I remember
weird?
Like when my lights were about to get cut off and nobody could help me.
Yeah.
All anybody could do was offer me a beer. Like, you know, I just so, you know, I just feel like super duper, just on the level that I'm on, I'm so grateful that I'm able to look at everything holistically and be like, you know what? Life is fucking dope. Life is shitty. And at the same time, it's dope at the same time. You know?
Yeah. The gratitude goes a long way, man.
It does.
Like, do you, that's just like a moment where you're sitting there getting kind of awestruck by it. But I mean, do you try to practice gratitude?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every single day. Like, it's my part of my morning practice.
Really?
I have a meditation practice in the morning. Yeah. When I wake up. And the first thing, that's the first thing I do every morning. Sometimes I might smoke while I'm doing it, if I'm being completely honest. But it settles me, and I just sit in gratitude. Yeah. Like, I'm so grateful and thankful for all of it. That's bad, the good, the lessons. And it helps me. It really just helps me approach a day like with a clear mind. And you know, like Bruce Lee talked about being like water, right? Mm-hmm. You know, where I'm not, nothing to me is good or bad. Everything just is.
So take the shape of the container.
Take the shape of the
container, whatever that day is going
to
be.
You get it. You get it. That's why I like talking to you.
I see a lot of people. I coach a good amount of people through my gym practice and some of the business stuff that seem to just do battle with their day.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to wake up and feel like I mean, sometimes I do. Sometimes it's like, all right, I know what's happening today. We got to go talk to this client. I got to go get this check from this guy. And then I got to go fire this one dude or whatever, you know, right, it's like, today's a battle. But I don't ever want to wake up and then live in that. I don't want to live like a fight every day.
Well, I would ask you, like, do you remember living like that?
Yes.
See?
Yeah.
And what, to me, particularly in my meditation in the morning or just reflection, really, because you can still do it with reflection. Like, you don't have to meditate.
Right.
Just be in the car, like sitting there, like, what the hell, you know? And even reflection to me helps you, like, look at it like, yo, I don't want to live that life, but it's because if I'm being honest with myself, I used to be that person that felt like, all right, I gotta get dressed this way and I gotta go do this today. And then, you know, I remember getting in the car feeling like, whew, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just at lunch, not even at the end of the day, at lunchtime, like, whew. And then after lunch, like, all right,
I got the rest of this to go,
you know? And I don't want to feel like that no more.
No.
And I'm just super duper blessed for the friends and influences and the reading and the knowledge and the acceptance that I have right now that's allowed me to accept everything. So yeah, man, Cambridge, England, that's where B is right now. She's an assistant tenure track professor at Cambridge, UK.
Wow.
And faculty of education at Homerton College.
Cool.
And super fucking dope. I don't know how I ended up with a partner that dope. I still don't know. I reflect on that too, because people be, I say it, I don't even like, sometimes I like saying it, sometimes I don't, right? Because it's like,
yeah,
I had my barber asked me yesterday, like, how the fuck you end up with her? And I was like, bro,
I don't know.
No. You know what I mean? I don't know, man.
But eyes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Singapore. I was in Singapore for 12 days for part of the Liberty Fellowship and the Aspen Global Leadership Institute, which I'm a part of. I'm a fellow of that now. So, yeah, my life has been wild.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, super wild.
Yeah. We were talking a little business before we started, too. And it kind of ties into that. But, like, I feel like there's – you don't want to live in the past, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's done is done. But some of the regrets I have are living that way and feeling like I've missed some opportunities. Like, I think back and I'm like, damn, if only I would have been a little cooler. You know, that opportunity definitely passed me by, and I see that. And that sucks.
I have so many of those.
It sucks.
I have so many of those. It's funny, in this part of my personal journey, I've been doing a lot of reflection on like admitting to things that I've done that I wanted to not admit that I've done, and having conversations with the people that I did them to,
really,
and hearing like it from their
point. That's step two of AA.
Shit. I'm talking about hard work to hear somebody tell you, like, this is what you did, this is how you made me feel, and you just acted like this. Now, like, yo, and at the same time, being in that space has really allowed me to kind of be more accepting of everything that's going on. And it's like, you know, when you talk about, shit, I just lost my train of thought. You were saying,
regrets in the past.
Yeah. Regrets in the past. And it's like, I have such a long list of them And at the same time, like those, I remember I was talking to one of my best friends, one of the guys that's known me for the longest, Todd Simon, beautiful, beautiful dude. And been rocking with me since I was 15 years old, you know, long time, 14. And I remember after he was, you know, just really breaking down some shit I did. And then he was like, you know what, though? He was like, all that had to happen, yo. It had to happen.
Yeah. Yep. I know that.
And it was like, damn, yeah. It did. Yeah. Like, I regret it, but had it not been for it,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to be
right
where I am. You'd right
still
now.
Still be doing it.
You know, yeah. But man, you're so right. Like, there's so mm-hmm. many things where I look back, even with him, like there was, you know, I did this thing where, and you might be able to relate to this, I don't know. I did this thing where like I created like a separation between my high school friends and the friends that I started meeting in my like professional life, whether you're talking about with Fat and Love, Peace and Hip Hop, or even with Genesis Studios and the work I was doing in the film world. Like, I created like these divisions, like I created all these compartments.
Right.
And when I look back 20 years later, I'm like, man, if I had just handled that a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I wasn't supposed to handle it differently.
Sure.
You get me?
I do. It leads up to who you are now.
Yeah.
Why do you think you did that though? Why do you think you kept, because we talked about some of that a little bit in the past, but like, why do you think you wanted to separate those worlds? Were you embarrassed of one world or?
Yeah. Some of it was embarrassment.
Yeah.
Some of it, I was learning new things in that world. Some of it was embarrassment with like the truth, right? Like, I don't want these people to figure out the truth about who I am, because if they figure out who I am, then that is going to make me embarrassed. And I don't want
it's a weird thing, isn't it?
That I'm not the thing that I said I was. So if I keep these people away from these people, and then they'll believe my story that I've created over here, and then these people over here to the left will believe this. That's why I did that to a lot of friendships. I did that to a lot of business relationships. And at that time, it was all fear. It was all fear, not wanting to deal with who I was in reality. You know, we all go through it in our own ways, and that's certainly how I went through it with me. So yeah, it was absolutely fear.
Yeah, me too. If I think back to mistakes I made or things I did wrong, you know, people I did wrong, it's like definitely
it's fear
from some sort of like, fear of like one hand figuring out what the other one's doing or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Why?
Yo, it's, you know, I don't know if you had this yet, but like, I get these moments now where I go, that was such a fucking waste of time.
Yeah, really.
Like,
I know. We were talking about that, some of that stuff too earlier.
Faster.
Wasted effort. Wasted a lot of the youth on just like silly things.
Yeah.
Trying to impress people.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I think most of my early business world exposure was just trying to impress people.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, what?
Definitely for me.
Now, I mean, I'm 50 now, and I realize they weren't ever even paying attention to me in the first place.
No, none of those people are around.
They weren't paying attention.
They weren't paying attention.
They were worried about what I thought.
They're
you know,
not
like
helping me on my kid. They're not helping me in my love life. Like, none of them. I don't even know where they are. And you know what's interesting? A lot of times when you run into those people now, you've flown so far past them, and you start thinking, why was I ever trying to impress you?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we are where we are when we're there. You know,
I want to go through some of these. I think this is a really good. So a non sequitur is when you just change subjects would this be a sequitur?
All good.
And is this article, you don't even need to read the article. I just want to go through the 9 things here and see what you think. But
yeah, give it to me.
8 really small things you do that say a lot about you.
Ooh.
It's some deep shit.
Okay.
I like this article.
I love it. Excuse me already.
And I did it and I didn't copy number 1. they don't have it. There we go. I just started it.
There you go.
All right. How you respond to social pressure says a lot about you.
Yeah.
And I read that and I was thinking, man, yeah, I'm kind of guilty of going with the flow.
Oh my God. You know.
You think of any times where you've responded, you've had a group of people pushing you to do something, you've done it and regretted it or really enjoyed it?
Yeah. Both.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it and really regretted it too.
Yeah.
Like at the same time, simultaneous. I've had all three. I've really hated it, really enjoyed it, and then hated it and enjoyed it simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You know,
I have a really good friend that This is very, very small, petty thing, but you know, he will do this thing where, let's take Game of Thrones, for example.
Okay.
Everybody watches Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Man, you got to watch Game of Thrones, man. He will not watch it.
Intentionally.
Because everyone says watch it. That's like the other side of the spectrum of this thing, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have any things like that in life?
100%. So yeah, I'm a super hip hop dude, right? Yeah. And in addition to me being super hip hop, I've always been, since I was a kid, I always like being left of center. Like, it's my comfort zone. Like, uh-huh. If everybody's going right, I want to go left. I mean, it was always that way. Even when I was in elementary school, like if everybody has, you know, if everybody's using red shoestrings or white shoestrings, I'm gonna go get like multicolored orange shoestrings. When I was in middle school, you know, everybody's right. Getting like, you know, bullet toes or shell toes. I'm gonna get the Andre Agassi's, and I'm gonna get the neon yellow color. You know, like, you know, if everybody's wearing duck head shorts, I'm gonna wear duck head shorts, but I'm gonna like stack my socks like four different ways. And if everybody's wearing orange or yellow, I'm gonna wear black and white. Like, I've always been there. Even now, like, it's funny, like my close friends, they know, like, when they see like me with
some sneakers that vibe
or something, yeah, like that, they go, their first thing they'll do is only fucking Shaquille's. Cause they know I just love being, so yeah,
that's like, funny.
If everybody's going right, I'll make it a point. And here's the other thing, for no real reason other than going left.
Well, yeah.
Just like kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah,
like,
it's your style.
I'm not watching it. Everybody's going right.
Yeah, fuck that, no, show. I'm not doing it. All right, man. Whether or not you keep your word.
Ooh,
I don't know if that's a small thing. That's kind of a big one with me.
Both of them are kind of big, really. But
yeah, but the keeping your word thing, that's a deal breaker for me. Like, and I try to guard that for myself too. I won't make promises.
Yeah.
And I might seem wishy-washy sometimes, but I'm like, well, I'll just tell you, probably not gonna happen.
Yeah. or I'm gonna go, like, my answer might be longer than you like.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure I'm being clear, you know, because if I say this, it's going to eat me up in my gut if I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just go, you know what? I'm not going to live with that pain in my gut. So just what you thought was going to be a quick answer is going to be a long one.
Yeah. And I got to give you options.
Because I got to give me options.
But yeah. There's so many people that they say one thing and they just do the other, and it really leaves a sour taste in my mouth about it, like, who you are.
I think I have a lot of grace because I used to do that. I think that's one of the reasons I have a lot of grace for people that do that, because I used to be really bad about that, like saying things. And my thing would be, I was a manipulator, right? So like my thing would be, I'm the guy that always gets it done, right? So I'm doubling down.
Yeah.
You get me?
You're living the thing, but
like,
yeah.
I'm telling you that I'm that guy, and I'm saying, yo, when I say yes, it's a yes, but really I know inside it's bullshit. You know what I mean? So
it's just like, y'all just hang out long enough.
So I have a lot of compassion for people that do that. Cause I remember being in that space where it's like, man, you, for whatever reason, kind of like with me, you don't put any value on your word. I don't know what made you that way. I know what made me that way. So I have compassion for you.
And I'm like, there's the people that maybe like knowingly will say one thing and do another. I think maybe the more dangerous person in terms of relationship is the one that does it accidentally.
Oh yeah.
Of course. They're just so busy. You know, they say one thing and then it's like, well, we're going to be there Tuesday at 6, and then Tuesday at 6 comes by and it's like, where'd they go? And then they're just like, oh, shit, I forgot. It's
completely. Like,
that might be worse.
Ooh.
I'm not sure yet. You know?
I got to give that some thought.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I'm on the fence on that one. I'm on the fence.
Number three here, the little phrases you use.
Ooh.
Yo, it tells me a lot about somebody, the way they speak.
that's a big one for me.
Yeah.
As I've grown personally, I've grown to despise small talk.
Yeah.
You know, I despise it.
I know.
You know, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to be around you if people start small talking. Because I'm like, I'm a human being. Like, Stop acting like I'm some kind of, or stop treating people that way, both ways.
Feels kind of salesy.
If it's just, it just feels icky. Like It feels icky to me. It feels like, like I want it away from me and off of me. And so that's a big one for me, because it tells me a lot about, like, to me, I equate it with careless. Like, you're careless.
Oh, okay.
Like, you don't have any. You don't care about what you say to people. You don't care. You just throw out all these. What's the wording? You throw out these
the little phrases.
Phrases.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. That I don't even know if you believe. You just like to.
You probably picked it up from somebody else.
It's interesting. I have a former student that still meets with me at USC, and he's the king of this. And he's gonna know who I'm talking about if he ever hears. I might send this to him because I catch him.
You're like, fast forward to 20 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yeah. Yep. Because I catch him with him all the time because he has a million of these motherfucking phrases. Mm. Like, he's always like, and that's how the cat gets this. But I'm like, yo, come on, man. With these phrases, come
on. Auditioning? you ripping?
And he don't. What I think so interesting is, of course I'm older than he is, so I have more experience on planet Earth than he does, but he don't even realize that it's off-putting. He thinks that it's deep, or that he's saying something meaningful. But
I've already heard it, dude. Yeah.
Even if I hadn't, like, come on, just say something real.
Yeah. That is it sounds rehearsed.
That's
something weird about that. Like, I've had business meetings and the person comes in and it's like, this is weird. Did you go over this before we met? Like, number one, I am not that important. Number two, I'm not smart enough. And three, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
So we got another one. How quickly you break eye contact.
Ooh.
That one bugs me a little bit.
It's so interesting that you said that, because, like, as you're saying it, I'm like, let me look at Gene. Because I'm. but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done podcasts. The person didn't even look at me the whole time. They're like, yeah, and then today was awesome. And they're like staring off the side the whole time.
Yeah, you got something weird going on. That to me, it's interesting when you say that to me, because I have an interesting relationship to looking people in the eye. Mm-hmm. That originally for me came from fear.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was a kid, I was a really sensitive kid, but I had to pretend like I was tough. And we talked about this on several episodes ago.
Recurring theme.
And I told you, we were talking about how, you look someone in the eyes and tell whether or not they have it or not. Like, particularly if you're a fighter, like, you look and go, nope,
yeah,
he's going down.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I mastered looking at people in the eye, because that would tell me whether or not this person was actually going to, like, if it was the kind of person that, like, was going to hurt me. I could tell by looking in the eye, and then I could look in your eye and be like, oh no, it's not that it's not there. So I'd be like, okay, I'm safe.
Yep.
But if I talk to somebody a certain type of way and I look in their eye and I see that thing in there, I know that's my ass. Like, or I got to protect somebody else, cause they're about to.
That's interesting.
I came about it differently. I came about it from a place of protecting myself.
Yeah.
And it's evolved to now where I'm like, I'm not so much trying to look for the thing that is going to keep me safe in someone's eyes. Now I'm looking for whether or not you're actually just a real human being now.
100%. I've had two thoughts while you were there. I've had my ass chewed out by a client, have just whooped my ass. And when we entered the room, they were just like, have a seat, Mr. Croft. Like, the whole time, just like watch me walk in and sit down. So, yeah, one, it's a clue.
Yeah.
Some shit's about to go down.
Yeah.
But two, like, the eye contact thing. And I'm not saying, like, I've spoken to people who are like Marine combat veterans, and they will just stare into your soul through your eyes. That's creepy.
Creepy.
What I mean is, like, or what I'm thinking when I read this is, like, when you're talking to somebody, give them your attention.
Yes.
I think as far as these aren't like, good qualities, it's just what, little things say about you. But like, if we're talking and I look at you and we converse, it has a lot of meaning. Like, it's a way to connect. Yeah. But if I'm like looking at my phone, or if I'm looking at my food, or constantly around the room, I'm not paying. It's like, it just says you're not paying attention. And
it one says of the, that, go ahead.
One of the attributes, if I spend time with you and we leave, I can't, I don't want to be weird and be like, I want to engineer what you think about me. But like, if I can do any of that, I want you to leave thinking, you know, that Gene pays attention.
Yes.
Like he spent time with me and I know that he listened. That's all I want.
That's important for me.
Right.
That's super important for me. I want people to know. And part of that is because I was the type of person that never liked to listen. Mm-hmm. I used to be a terrible listener. So it's super important to me now. That's why I make so much eye contact mm-hmm. when I talk to people, because I want people to know. And what that says about yeah. you is you're completely self-absorbed.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't have time for this conversation, really. So I'm going to try to multitask
yep.
while I listen to your bullshit.
Because it's all about me.
Let's get out of this. Yeah.
It certainly was for me when I was that way.
Yeah.
It was all about because that, you know what I find so interesting about people that don't make eye contact? They don't listen to what you're saying.
Well, that's true. You know what they I mean? Don't. Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
Did you actually hear my question? Like, did you hear what I said? Or have you already came up with the answer before you yeah. heard me? And so you're just.
It's a clue that they're just formulating a response.
Yeah.
Without listening to the rest of your conversation.
You just made up your own version of the words I use.
Pretty much. I find myself getting like super irritated with people mm-hmm. when we're like in a meeting or whatever conversation, and like this, like they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Like I get like irritated.
Yeah.
I'm just like, are we good? Like, I'm just going to leave. I've been known to just walk out of meetings for real. Just like,
All right, cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I got something better.
Where'd you go? What's wrong?
Are you thinking like I got something better to do with my time?
I mean, I do. I didn't want to be here in the first place.
Amen.
Put your phone away. As I was looking at somebody was calling me. I turn it off.
I saw you tell that. But you were doing it the right way.
I was trying.
You weren't doing like, this thing.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. No, you're not.
Well, you gotta, you gotta check, because if it's your mama calling,
yeah,
the podcast is over.
Yeah.
Like, you got to answer mama.
Come on, man. My son, like, it's the middle of school day. I got to answer that call.
You ever get a call from, like, your mom or your grandmom or something, like, in the middle of the day, and you're just like, who's dead? Like, yeah. Why are you calling me? And yeah. they're like, I just wanted to say hi. Why does it always have to be negative?
It's a relief.
Because you know.
I know. I'm 45. Like, at this space stage in life, I already know. Like, it's, man.
Yeah, don't
I'm
be calling
you,
me.
At this stage in life, you know. When it's a family member and it's 2:30 on a Tuesday, you're
that's
like,
not normal.
Oh shit.
What's going on?
Hey, yeah. What's going on? And then finally they go, oh man, I was just thinking, I was just watching the game.
Why are you like that?
Thank you.
What do you mean, why am I like that? This next one, I think, goes with the other one about little phrases you say, but you didn't read the article, but I think this one's pretty fascinating. Mm-hmm. How often you use the acronym LOL.
Ooh. LOL.
And the article was saying, like, you use it, you're not really, you don't think it's funny. But you'll just, just think about how many times you use something like that.
I use it a lot.
Yeah, me too.
But I actually do think it's funny.
Well, that's
cool. I'm not LOLing just for the sake of it. Now, here's something I do want to ask you though. Sometimes I do, because text communication is weird. Yeah. I don't know why people think, I'm going to say something here.
Yeah, do it.
To the people that are listening. I don't care who you are or where you are in life, okay? There's something that you need to understand about text communication that Sherrard Shakis Duvall is about to share with you. Mm-hmm. You cannot manage anything via text communication.
Oh.
You can't manage relationships.
Yeah.
You can't manage a project. You can't manage your interactions with people. You can't manage your interactions with your kids via text message. Mm-mm. If you think that you can, stop thinking that because you cannot. Okay. So let's just get that out the air.
I love that.
The LOL thing. So I wonder if you do this. I'll use LOL as a strategy.
Keep going.
Like, because I'm a big fan of reading what I write before I send it.
Yeah, well,
even with email, right?
I'm a big fan of communicating properly without misspelled words.
Because I used to just like write, send, right?
I hate that. Just fucking
read. And then I go back and read some of the shit I said, like, why the fuck did I say
at least
that?
Before you put that shit on social media, read that sentence
even an email, Gene.
Holy shit,
even it, yo. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why it took me a while to find a person that I thought could be a good production manager for OTR. Because I was your email game is terrible.
Can you read?
But yeah. The guy I got now, shout out to Torres. He's going through a lot right now, but I love you, bro. He's excellent. Like he's so kind and well thoughtful. And I love that. Same way with Alex. Love you, Alex, in Colorado. But yo, so like, I'm like, all right, I don't mean this harmfully. I mean, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. So I'm going to put a LOL here and comma LOL here. So you know that even though this, I'm not LOLing because it's funny. I'm LOLing to let you know that I mean this lightly. Do you ever do that?
Yes, I use smiley faces more than LOL. I use smiley faces in email. I use LOL in text. The article says that more often than not, you're using it to hedge whether or not, like, maybe they're not into what you're saying.
Yep.
So you're like, I don't mean it if you don't want me to mean it, you know, like, but it kind of goes with like, you know, do you keep your word? Do you mean the things you say?
It does.
It's an extension. We almost look at like text messaging as like throwaway conversation.
Yep.
You know, I think people do. It's like, this isn't real conversation.
Dude, on one hand, yeah. And then at the same time, like I've gotten in arguments over text messages. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, how did you get that from that?
Wait a minute.
I didn't even, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But I'm with you though, because we put in our own emotion into the email or into the text. We're reading it with our own context and perspective and not that other person's. That's why you just got to pick up the phone or go.
Which is why you cannot manage anything via text.
But you know what really kills me more than that? It's not just that. It's that the speed with which we do things is really way faster than it should be.
Yes.
Like, I don't need to just pick the phone and call you the moment. Like, maybe you're in the middle of something. Like, can we just, like, I'll see you tomorrow? Like, and then, like, we'll talk then? Whatever happened to that? So that we can like think about it and float through our emotions and then have a real face to face. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that
it's just too fast.
You are like hitting a really passionate place for me because it's one of the things that I've learned. A lot of that came from Fast too, is the value of slowing down. When it comes to communicating with people,
man,
it's so valuable. And I think that a lot of times we get so consumed with speed that we lose sight. Certainly I did, that you're talking to a human being.
Yeah, for sure.
And human beings have feelings and emotions and shit that they got that to do and things that are important to them. So when you're just texting, and you're just speeding through emails and texts, or even those, you know, immediately calling someone, you're not even being considerate that this person has a whole life.
They're probably eating lunch, bro. Like, I'll tell maybe spending
some time with their daughter,
or not thinking about you. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe
you're the problem.
Was that somebody told me one time? They were like, "Hey, you know, here's a good way to test if you're an asshole or not. You know that one friend you have that's an asshole." You're like, yeah, I can think of him. His name's, you know, Tim. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't think of that person,
you're the asshole.
You might be the asshole. Wait, I don't have any friends that are assholes. Well, oh, no. But I think about that, man. And like when I teach people fighting, first I teach like if you can't hit the target, it don't matter how fast or how hard you can hit. You know, and it's like, I think about, and I try to bring like that lesson to business, right? So if I can't communicate my thought and what I want, but what difference does it make if it's a fast communication or not? It just doesn't matter. So take the time and think about what you're going to say, you know, and then say it. And words have meaning, you know.
Words have meaning. And how you communicate those words has meaning.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about craft. I don't know if you think about craft, like what you do for a living.
Okay.
Like the craft of what you do and how good you are at it.
Okay.
Right. I've been working on that myself. I've been really passionate about, you know, just something stupid like building websites.
Okay.
I want to be really, really good at it.
Yeah.
I want to be the craft of what I do for that. I want it to be a very high level.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, I have to take my time, mm-hmm. like, and be thoughtful. Mm-hmm. You can't do that if you go fast.
You can't do it. You just can't do it if you go fast. You know, it's one of the things that certainly has over the years prevented me from having a lot of deeper relationships with people that I can tell mm-hmm. that I should have had because mm-hmm. of speed. Even mm-hmm. when it comes to business, mm-hmm. like I've done 4x business mm-hmm. just by moving slower.
I think so.
I can hear my client needs more. I can kick them more ideas mm-hmm. more. What could have been a $5,000 project turned into a $55,000 project, and it's something that they're happy with, and I'm happy with, and everybody, because I just took the time to listen, and then respond to what they're actually saying, mm-hmm. and then they go, "Oh, I didn't quite think about that." But I love this space with them, with a client or with a friend, where we're volleying now.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
you volley. What do you think about this? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Let me play with the Play-Doh and throw the Play-Doh back to mm-hmm. you. Then they play with the Play-Doh. And that's the space I love being mm-hmm. in.
That's cool.
That's when you know you're in a space where y'all are actually
coming up with something. You're doing something.
And you're both listening to each other and you're engaging mm-hmm. with each other. It's a very human space for me. Mm-hmm. I love that space.
Yeah. We get so protective or whatever that vibe is or whatever. But I mean, it's a balance, right? Because you still have to have payroll every 2 weeks or whatever, you know, so there's that balance. But like, that's a business problem versus your craft of what you do. And I feel like I don't want to be the youngins today don't care about craft, but it just everything. I've got some AI things I want to talk to you at the end all this kind of crap coming at us, it's devoid of craft. There's like nothing there.
Anything.
It's so hollow and
anything
shallow.
That's happening too fast, particularly as it pertains to human interaction, should be a red flag for any human being.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Communication, projects, anything that's happening too fast, you should automatically go, wait a minute.
I think so.
I don't, when I go back and look, it's funny. Once again, I was talking to Fred about this other day. Like we were telling him about some old emails. We were doing a deal and he got a streaming deal. And, going through the emails, and I was like, he was like, bro, you didn't ask no questions. He was just like, yes, this is great.
Awesome. Right.
You know what I mean? Instead of slowing down, I'm like, what does that mean? And what does this mean when this happened? And what, and then we can talk things through.
Yeah.
And,
cause that means there's a lot of assumptions being made on both parts.
A lot of assumptions.
And that's not good.
That's terrible. Particularly if you want to do business.
When you're like, I've done that before. We're like, here's your project. It's done. And they're like, where's all the shit we talked about? I'm like, what do you mean? They just had this idea, you know, you're like, well, I guess I got to go build that because we didn't write anything down. Shit, that's just bad business. But
yeah, it
is. All right. The way you use your voice. I figure that one was a good one.
Yeah.
Because of what you know.
Yeah. What I've been through. Yeah.
But the way you use your voice. Man. I mean, that makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. Yo, ever since I've been talking in my real voice, it has helped so many aspects of my life. Singapore was another place, you know. So, so it was an Aspen Global Leadership Seminar, and there are fellowship cohorts coming from different parts of the world. There's one from Central America, one from China and Japan, one from West Africa. One from America and one from South Africa and one from South Carolina, meaning just me, right? Which was wild. So it's 29 of us and we have these leadership discussions every day about really deep human and societal issues and problems, everything from like, you know, how to deal with, you know, countries that are corrupt, to, you know, how to choose the right leadership roles and how to be a leader that leads with humanity. I do really, really deep conversations. And
that's
so
cool. From people all over the world.
From all over the world. And I remember.
Not just like, all over the Midlands.
I was like, because I've gotten such into practice of speaking in my own voice that I'll even slow it down even more. And what I'm starting to realize, and I was realizing in those conversations when I would speak, was they need to hear South Carolina in my voice.
Yeah.
What? Because that's a part of my perspective. You know what I mean? They need to hear the hip hop in my voice because it's a part of my perspective. They need to hear the humanity in my voice. And what I began to realize, what was the question?
The way you use your voice.
What I began to realize is the way that you use your voice allows for people to see the humanity in you.
Yeah.
And I know you know what I'm talking about because I know there's been plenty of times you've been in meetings or on the phone with people and you're like, what is this person even real?
Yeah. Or you ever been like tight with somebody and then all of a sudden they're like that robot response or whatever. And you're like, what happened? Like that's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
I experienced that a lot in coaching, particularly the fitness where, you know, somebody would be like, man, you know, I want to change my life. I need to do all this stuff. And we get kind of down the road and then they decide like, I'm done with that. And it's like, all of a sudden now you're a stranger.
Oof.
And you're like, what's been happening for the past 8 months? And why are you talking to me like that now? You know, but they're just letting you know I'm done with this.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird how we do that to people.
And one of the things I share with my son a lot, because I want him, I really want my son to be cognizant of what he's doing and when. So we talk about listening and, you know, so like if he's saying something away or I see him moving away, I'm like, you know, he'll be like, I'll be like, what's wrong? He'll be like, nothing. I'll be like, no, you did this and you said this.
Well, that's the next one. The way you carry yourself.
I want him to, you know, that's a good one too. But, you know, the voice part, like, you know, I can hear, you can build your human connections with people through just listening to the tone and the inflection of their voice. You know, you can tell if someone is being genuine. You can tell if someone is putting on airs. You can tell if someone is down, if someone is sad or happy or joyous or calm.
Or full of shit.
Like, literally, the way you use your voice and also the way that you listen to people's voice, I think, says a lot about you as a person.
We all need that one friend that can just hear it
in
your voice and be like, you're full of crap right now.
Yeah.
You need that. And you need to spend time with that person.
Please. I know we try to avoid those people because I do too.
Yeah. Because you don't want to be, you know, pulled out in front of everybody all the time. You definitely need to spend time with that person. If you have a person like that in your life, you just spend time with them. So the next one, how you carry yourself is very much in the same vein. And That's one of the, we're not talking about self-defense. We're just talking about life, but that's one of the first things I teach people in self-defense is like, don't be all hunched over, like looking weak, like stand up tall, shoulders back, look like you're paying attention. They're probably not going to mess with you, you know,
because
they're going to be like, you are not an easy target. You look like an easy target. Guess what?
You probably are an easy target. Your body language says a lot about you, but also the way that you carry. What does it say?
Oh, how you carry yourself.
Like also the way, not just your physical position. Also, we call it in hip hop, we call it moving correctly. Like, we call it, you know, we have that little phrase. I was moving correctly. I was moving correct. Like that means that the way that you're interacting with people, the way that you're interacting with yourself, the way you interact with your family and friends and kids, like there's a certain rhythm to realness. And that's beyond physical, you know, movement. And, you know, you can learn a lot from someone when you go out to eat with them.
You can. 100%.
How they treat the waiter, how they treat the staff, how they interact with their food, like how they interact with you with their food, how they interact. Like you can learn so much about how they carry themselves when you go out to eat, even lunch or coffee with someone.
100%.
Like it says a lot about who you are. Yeah.
So in our martial arts world, we have what we call the code. And it's not, you're not going to find it written down anywhere. It's just the code. You know, there's certain things you do to show respect, to do things a certain way. And a lot of people get confused over that. And it's really not that complicated. It's just doing things correctly. And I love, like, as a Jocko, you you know, Jocko Willink. If you haven't, oh my God.
I don't know.
That's a different podcast.
I know
podcast.
Jocko Pastorius, but he's a musician. Oh, wow. I don't know. Jocko who?
Jocko Willink.
Who is this guy?
I'm going to send Woman? You lots of links. I don't know. Prepare. Incoming Jocko.
Okay.
What did he do? I'm like.
You really
are. He's a retired Navy SEAL.
Oh, he's like a Goggins.
He's like a really cool person. Okay. No, he's like... He's just really wise.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He's not really a Goggins in a sense of like, you know, badass. Doing a 300-mile run. Though he's badass, but yeah. I want you to experience him, and then we'll have another one of these.
I love it. Yeah.
But like he says, you know, when somebody's like, "Well, how do I know? If I'm trying to figure out what to do that's right, how do I know when it's right?" And he just says, "You fucking know."
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
you do.
You know how to move correctly.
You do.
You just don't want to.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth.
It's like, there's no confusion here.
No.
You just show proper respect. And, you know, when you don't understand, just show respect. And then we're all good. Why is it so hard?
I think the reason why people say that they don't know is because they're trying to do.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
You know, I spent a lot of large part of my life trying to be. Yeah. So I know how it feels.
Okay.
Because you're trying to be.
Yeah.
You're trying to do, as opposed to just saying.
Just being authentic.
Let me just be myself. But here's the thing. And it's funny. I was saying this just a few weeks ago. It's impossible to just be yourself if you don't know yourself.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Which is people are trying to do, right? Yeah. Because they're trying to be something other than themselves.
Right.
For whatever reason, you know, and ultimately people can't cut the shit if they haven't cut the shit with themselves. You just can't.
Maybe it's like the one thing that people feel like they can control.
Oh,
it's themselves, right? The one thing the only thing you can control is you.
Yeah.
So that's the first place we go.
Yep.
But what, instead of controlling your reactions or your actions, you're just like pretending.
You're pretending.
Yeah.
So that's why people go, "Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know." No, you know what's right and wrong.
You know, yeah. You know how to show respect.
It's usually the shit we learned when we were like 5.
Yeah. Yeah, really. It's pretty simple stuff.
Super simple, like do unto others.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's so Jocko, he'll be like, you know, "Oh, you want to lose weight? Stop eating the donuts." Like, you know you don't need to do that.
Come on,
man. But you do it anyway. Like, there's your problem. I mean, that's really super simple, but like, really kind of is it?
Yeah.
I mean,
people are always, you know, it's interesting, you know, particularly with the online world we live in now, people are always looking.
Yeah. They look for the hack.
They want the hack, man. There's got to be another way to get to the thing. No, it's only one way.
That's
even with all the technology and all the AI and all the things, it's only one way, yo.
What do you, so that's, look at what, look at us.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who'd have thought?
What are your thoughts and potentially issues with AI? You're the guy about the, you know, social media. You've taught me a lot.
Thank you.
What do you think? I mean, what do you think? What do you feel? Are you freaked out? Are you,
I mean,
like,
it's so many. I think that first, I think that I think speed, going back to speed.
Yeah, we talked a little bit, but
the social connected environment that we all live in digitally has increased our need for reductive communication.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you're right.
We've taken artificial intelligence and reduced it.
Mm.
Right. When artificial intelligence means so many different things.
True. Yes.
However, it's not speedy to dissect all of those things. So we just kind of lump everything together as AI, right?
It feels like we're using it as a tool to just make things faster.
Well, in some cases, yeah, right? So if you take like predictive learning AI, mm-hmm. right, which is the computer learning to do a process, like a ChatGPT, which is like predictive learning, right? to write a paper or to draw a picture of you, mm-hmm. right? That's one form of AI that is designed to do things faster, right? But then there's also an artificial intelligence that is designed to help you aggregate which pizza place to go find, right? Hmm. Pizza near me.
Sure.
And now it's aggregating pizza place. So it's not, mm-hmm. it is doing something faster, but it's not getting a job done faster. Mm. It's just aggregating information for you.
Yeah.
In a way that you can decipher it in a space that makes sense. Then there's also, I sent you this, the guy that has a robotic arm.
I have it linked up. Yeah.
And
it's incredible.
They use AI to enhance the technology of the artificial intelligence to be connected to the nerve cells in his body.
Yeah.
Because the nerves in his arm were still worked. So his brain is still firing for his fingers to move.
Right.
And for his arm to move, but he doesn't have an arm anymore. But so they wire the robotic arm to his nervous system and use AI for his hands, for the robotic hand to respond to his body in real time, that the nerves
will crazy.
Be responding, which is a whole different, you know, use of AI. So, you know what I mean? It's like, that's totally different than ChatGPT.
Yeah. Do you,
get what I'm saying?
100% different. You, look at any of the, what is it? Elon Musk Neuralink.
I haven't read that much.
There's about Neuralink. There's an article out that, the first dude with the chip implant is doing well. And, you know, the whole time I didn't think of this until you sent me that link.
Yeah.
I was thinking that it's Elon Musk putting chips in people's heads, you know, like it's just going to be a way to tweet faster, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the guy's actually in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I think he's a quadriplegic, okay. Whatever. So wow. The Neuralink is helping him
communicate.
Yeah. The article was like, stayed up all night playing video games with his Neuralink, but whatever.
Kind of like Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
technically that was a version of AI that he was using.
Right.
Right. That was helping him communicate.
Yeah.
Helping him get his ideas from his thoughts to that computer so mm-hmm. he could say it in mm-hmm. real time.
But I didn't put it together in that realm until you sent me that link. And I was like, oh, holy shit. Yeah. Like, there's a whole, like, yeah. you know, it's not just the evil robot overlords.
Yeah.
Or Skynet or whatever.
But it is that too. And so I think that ultimately, whether we're talking about Neuralink or the robot arm or ChatGPT or predictive learning, or, you know, Google has a thing now, Bing has a thing. You know,
yeah, they all,
you know, they all have, you know, Alexa.
It's probably all the same thing, but whatever.
Yeah. All of it at the end of the day is harmful to human beings, whether it is helpful or not. And that's the part that I think we have to understand first while we're also using it. It ultimately is not natural.
Right.
And it
right.
is creating a world where your interaction, whether that be through learning, whether that be through healthcare, whether that be through creating art, is interacting with the machine.
Right.
And that's not good for humanity because, yeah. And here's the thing that's interesting to me is we've had so many stories, books, movies about all of this. Like, these ideas aren't new to man, right? We have seen movies and stories and fables have warned us about the interactions that are not human interaction.
Yeah.
And yet it just is what it is. The number one, the dangling carrot when it comes to capitalism is convenience.
Yeah.
People love convenience. We love it. We can't get enough of it. And the thing about machines is they make things so convenient.
Well,
so
they seem to. Yeah.
They seem to.
Right.
And that's my thing about. So when that's why I kind of rolled my eyes when you were like, oh, the Neuralink guy's doing well. Yeah. But we haven't looked at that over 50 years.
Right.
In 20 years. Right. Right. Like, we didn't know the impact of Facebook in 1998.
Yeah.
Well, what, 98? When was that?
I don't know.
I was like 2008, I think.
Oh, 2008.
Right? I think I was.
Yeah, it's probably closer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because 2007 was when the iPhone came.
Right.
I think that might have been 2008, 2009 when Facebook came. We had no idea that Facebook would shut down governments.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Right.
And that's the thing about speed, right? If you are only looking at the speed, that means you're not interested in the long-term effects of a thing. And one other thing that you can find that is predictable as the weather or as whether or not a hamburger is going to taste good when you bite into it is that man is going to fuck it up if he does it fast. I mean, it literally, you can pick up any history book on planet Earth.
Yeah.
If we're doing it fast, we're fucking something up. It just is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether you're talking about concrete on streets or, yeah, you know, the guy when the, I'm sure it was when the guy was like, yo, man, we can heat this shit up and make metal. Somebody was like, what the fuck is that smell?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? What's that dirty smoke in the air? Oh, don't worry about
it. Yeah, don't worry about it.
20 years later, yeah, ozone layers begin, yeah, to play. Right, it's because, right, you were doing shit fast. And right, it's like, that's, it should be a red flag. Mm. I think where we are now when it comes to technology specifically, and I mentioned this before on the show, but not in this way, not in this realm, is there needs, now more than ever, we need a regulatory board when it comes to the speed of tech. Because the dog has been wagging, right, the tail when it comes, right, to humanity since 2009.
Yeah, they're trying to do something like that, but like they're not really,
it's not,
nobody's paying attention.
Nobody's paying attention. It has to happen because at this point,
I guess the argument is like, well, China will do it.
Who gives a fuck? I don't, yeah, care if it's China or like I just think, sometimes I wonder, like, does humanity read? Like, you can pick up any book.
Like, fuck.
We've seen this.
Yeah. I mean, literally a movie about this shit.
As much as we let's just take America. Like, as much as we, you know, enjoy the convenience of our lives in America. America is a fucked up,
right,
experiment.
Right.
Where we literally killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I'm saying we, because if you're an American, you got blood on your hands too. Yeah. If you're enjoying coffee right now, or, yes, you're enjoying your Apple MacBook, your Pro, yeah,
especially your iPhone,
you have blood on, yes, your hands. And that's, it's not something that we like to admit, right? Right? Because, right, we go, well, I wasn't there, but you're benefiting. Yeah,
you're there now.
It's like the movie. I don't know if you read the book Cast or you've seen the movie. She equates it to it's like inheriting a house.
Hmm.
You weren't there when the house was built. You never lived in the house. You know, like, the fuck? Like, this ain't my responsibility, right, but it's yours.
Yeah, right.
So who's going to fix the roof?
Right.
Who's going to fix the floors?
Right.
Yeah. And so, like that analogy helps explain how we participate in something we've been giving without us being asking right, for it, right?
Right.
And so... Using that as an example, there's been so many times in human history where we've seen how doing things without thinking about the effects of those things has caused irreparable damage for humanity,
yeah,
like irreparable. And AI is the newest iteration of that. That's the scariest for people like me because it's the most fast.
Yeah.
So if it's faster than ever, then it's going to be more fucked up than ever. You get me?
For sure. You know what I mean? Well, like, you sent me that one link about the true crime deepfakes.
Yes.
That freaked me the hell out, man.
Isn't that wild?
Holy shit.
Isn't that wild?
I'll put some of that in here in the middle so we can.
They're literally whole confessions.
They're fake.
That are fake.
And then people are paying for it.
People paying for it.
Because you know, it was like capitalism's fucked up or whatever you sent me. But like, I was like, what am I looking at?
Yeah. It's on one hand, I hate to promote it. But on the other hand, people need to be aware.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And at the other hand, like, it's no different than, well, you know, you take I don't know. We were talking about this while we were in Singapore, the case that Apple and Google. And
yeah. Right.
Just one about cobalt.
Yeah.
In Congo. Yeah. Right. And they, of course, won the case.
Of course they did.
They're not to blame.
Of course.
Right.
We want our iPhones.
Yeah. We want our iPhones.
I
mean, dude,
I'm sad. I don't like the look of those people doing that work, but I need my new. I need the iPhone 16.
I got to check my email.
Yeah, dude.
I got to. Well, hold on. Wait. Oh, somebody just texted me. So let's get back to talking about the people dying over cobalt.
But that's a fucked up situation.
It's fucked up. And the thing is. And I used the example when I was in Canada. When I was in Canada this was a few years ago, with Bea and her family. And it was the first time I had seen like Native Americans en masse. Like, mm-hmm, I've never, mm-hmm, seen that before. Like,
Canada's, you know, got a bunch of them.
Yeah, which is just wild, you know. But the wildness aside. So we're there, and Trezor has got a nice car. I think it's like a Dodge Challenger, and we're riding around downtown, going somewhere. I think we were going to his job, something like that. I can't remember where we were going. And I had a really nice mug with some really nice coffee in it. And I'm looking out the window, and I see all these homeless Native Americans. Yeah. And I was feeling terrible about it. And then we pulled to the stoplight, and I looked down at my coffee, and I took a big sip, and then we kept moving. And it's like, the reason I use that example is because it's like, there's nothing wrong with accepting the reality of all of it.
Yeah.
You can enjoy the coffee, but don't forget there's homeless Native Americans that are on the street at the same time. Yeah. And that's how I feel about this situation, like that we're talking about with AI, similar to the situation with Apple and Cobalt. It's like both are true.
Yeah.
We can't get so wrapped up in the convenience that we forget that it's connected. That's one of the reasons why I love that movie Us so much.
I've seen the Jordan Pitt movie Us.
That's why I love it, because that's the whole point of the movie is don't forget, like, as much as you're enjoying those Nikes, as much as you're enjoying that coffee.
Some kid had to put that stuff together in a sweatshop.
And probably can't afford to, like, buy
they can't buy them today. Yeah, right.
Yet, here you are riding around with your Bluetooth radio in your car and your nice leather seats. It's all connected.
Just be like, humble about it.
The humanity part.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think we need a regulatory body to come in and say, hey, look, we've seen this happen to humanity so many times before we get another Hitler or Putin. Or, you know,
yeah, whatever.
Before we get, because you know that's what's going to happen.
For sure.
Come on. It's ripe for it.
That's what people do.
We do it over and over again as humanity.
We repeat history.
We repeat history. Yeah. We find somebody, because that's what's going to happen. If we don't start regulating the tech space, there's going to be a tech.
Well, let me ask you this.
Trump or like a tech Putin.
For sure.
A tech Hitler.
It's for sure.
So it's inevitable.
This post, and I haven't done any other research, so it's probably my fault.
Because they're going to go, I'm the guy you can trust with AI. And everybody's going, we have to get behind this guy.
Let me see if I can find it real quick.
We got to remember that we're human beings. We're part of this planet Earth. We live here. I want to keep, I like the sunrise.
Let's not blow it up.
I like
so,
plants.
Ron, this is not political. I'm not asking you for your political, because I don't really give a shit, but like, because I don't like Ron DeSantis, but whatever. In Florida, he's proposing a law for social media companies to be required to close accounts and not allow accounts for people 14 and under.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, no, because it's Ron DeSantis and the Republicans, and I don't kind of lean that way. But on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
It's a great idea.
I think it is.
I don't fuck with Ron DeSantis at all.
I think it's a good idea.
Shit, I don't even think it's his idea.
It probably isn't.
You know, however. Yeah,
come on, let's be real. Probably
there. And what that goes to what I'm saying, like, it's very similar to how I felt. It was funny because, you know, being in Singapore with Chinese, talking to them about COVID was totally different, because I heard me say before, like, yeah, I like the way that what China did, but then when I talked to actual Chinese people that were living there, like, it's like, dude, this shit was fucked up.
Yeah,
I was like, man, you know. So, like, you know, perspective, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I feel the same way I feel about Obamacare when talking about this situation. Mm-hmm. And we call it Obamacare, it was really the Affordable Care marketing, you know, the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act wasn't about getting it right. The Affordable Care Act was about, let's get to one.
Yes.
We're at zero. Get to one?
And then same thing with this gun control.
Yeah.
Let's get to whatever
one,
they call them,
bills, and then we can figure out, because we can't do anything if we're at zero.
Yep.
But if we can get to one, that's how I feel about what you're talking about. Yep. This law. Like, no, we're at zero.
Yeah.
While being under 14 may not be the best, let's at least get that down so we have a rough draft, and now we can edit that rough draft, and we can make changes to it. We can adapt it, because it is really
we seem to forget that's how we built this country.
We seem to forget. Forget
that we have amendments to that Constitution.
So many, like, and we keep challenging them.
Yeah, but we forget about it. We can change
the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Still operate. And, you know, my thing is, you know, as someone that is into the education space when it comes to media literacy and technology and social media, human beings being able to be literate in that space.
Yeah.
One of the things that's important to me as people navigate this space is human beings need to be aware that society is forcing them into this space, which is new for us.
Right.
Right. We've never as a whole been forced to adapt to technological shifts.
Yeah.
It's always been, you know, if you want to get a car, you can. If you want to get a telephone in your house, you can. If you want to get a microwave, you know, it'd be like, oh, that's cool.
We don't know the scale of this.
It was never like, oh, we don't sell ovens. You can only get microwaves.
Right.
It was never, oh, you can't get a bike anymore. It's only cars. Like, that's what's happening.
What is the closest thing to that? Technology. Like reading?
Yeah, but they weren't like, you have to get a book.
Yeah. No, but I mean,
Gene, you don't have books. We're going to kill you.
Right.
You can't operate in society without a book. No, you can totally operate. Yeah. You're not literate, you know,
right.
But you can operate in society. I mean, we know plenty of people that have functioned. Well, I don't know if you know, we know plenty.
I know.
Throughout history, there's been plenty of people that were technically illiterate, but were very successful. Very smart.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time where it's like, we don't take cash.
Yeah.
You need a screen.
Right.
You know, my mom was trying to watch soap operas, but she don't know the password. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have a screen.
You do.
We're forcing everybody.
The internet, at least. Space, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the internet space, which exists in some type of screen, watch screen, phone screen, right?
You ever think about that? How you go from screen to screen to screen all day?
All day.
You just go screens, from screen to screen. Different to screen. Screens.
And it's getting even worse with cars now, because now cars.
My car's got a damn
all
screen.
Screens. It's all screens. It's like screen.
And I get in and I'm like, I don't like that screen. Let me plug in this other screen. So that I get the Apple screen. What the hell?
It's all screens. And we're not, there's no body saying we've never done this to humans before.
Right.
We've never forced everybody to say you have to communicate and function and live. And this is globally. This isn't just in America.
Right.
This is the human race. Everywhere.
Yeah.
In Africa, in India, in the Netherlands, in Sweden, and Cambodia and Thailand, everywhere on planet Earth, we're saying everybody come into the screen world.
Mm-hmm.
And no one at any point is saying, well, hold on. Are you going to teach us how the screen world works?
No, that's the whole idea. We're going to make it so easy. We don't have to teach.
So easy. We don't have to teach you. You know, I was telling I was on this podcast with this Jeff, I can't remember his last name, but he has this company called Shifting Schools. And we were talking about media literacy. And he was asking me, you know, about parents and, you know, how they talk about their kids interacting with technology. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jeff, most parents don't understand that the reason why kids operate so easily with technology is because the UI, the user interface, is simple.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the intelligence of your 3-year-old.
Yeah, I was thinking that earlier. We're talking. It's like, don't mistake their ability to use it with expertise. Understanding.
And you can't be like, oh, look at my baby using the iPad, because all you have to do is swipe
ain't
your hand
but
from left to right and press the screen and the YouTube video is going to
play.
And
he gets the bright light to come on.
They're not geniuses. And it's something that Jeff and I were talking about that, because it's like something we fight about with schools, because schools like for kids to be one-to-one, but they don't know how to type.
Right.
You don't know what an underscore button is. You don't know how to make a caps letter on a computer, but you can't think just because a kid can use TikTok, he knows how to do a Google search.
No,
he knows how to type 60 words a minute. Like, it's not the same thing. And it's what you just said a second ago. Like, it's easy to use.
That's the whole idea. I mean, it's supposed to be easy.
You don't have to. I mean, dude, how many?
If it's so damn easy, how come I can't use it?
Dude, how many subscriptions do you have now?
Oh, God. We were looking at that the other night. Yeah, we were looking at that the other night. Yo. Like, you remember when it was just one?
Remember,
and how much we hated it? Now I have like 12.
I used to be.
And the same one I used to have.
Gene, I used to be the streaming advocate. I used to be like, fuck cable. I got Netflix. I got Hulu. I'm set for life. I watch TV when I want. Mm-hmm. I watch what I want. I don't have to worry about commercials. It's the most beautiful
thing. And they still put commercials on the damn thing.
$14 a month.
Yeah.
Now, I've like lost count. I don't even know how many streaming services I have.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
They have services that you could sign up for that will tell you how many like ghost subscriptions you're paying for.
Boy, capitalism is good.
But wait,
you don't have to. I'll just pay me to tell
well,
you.
Well, I was watching.
And I'll tell you how many accounts you have.
What Gene, the hell?
Just I know. Pay me once a month and I'll tell you.
Or just cancel your credit card. You'll find out real quick. Okay. They'll be calling you and emailing you. I was trying to watch that new show, Shogun.
I'm watching it now.
Oh, it's good. And I was on Hulu. And my wife's like, yeah, we pay for Hulu. You can watch it on that. And I watch it on the account we're paying for. And they got damn commercials on. I'm like, wait, what are we paying for this? Then what the hell do I got commercials on?
You got to pay a different amount for
that. I got to pay more to not have the other commercials. So what is it? Do you even get to watch it if you don't pay for it at all?
Yeah, it's the one. Yo, so NCAA tournament.
You just see the preview. You don't get to see the whole show.
Last week, I'm like, yo, all right, I want to watch the tournament. Where can I watch the tournament? So I just Google like, where to watch the tournament. And it's all apps. And it's all apps I don't have.
UFC's the same way.
I was pissed. Like, I was like, fuck.
Can't watch anything on ESPN on the damn TV anymore.
It's a damn app. Do I have ESPN?
I was watching the fight from my phone, streamed to my TV.
Right,
yeah. Because I couldn't get it to work on the app on the TV. I was like, I'm streaming this shit from my phone.
Yeah.
And my phone was dying. I had to plug my phone in.
Yeah.
Like, this is stupid.
I got to watch TV from an app. I can't even just watch sports on
my TV.
We
sound like a couple of boomers right now, I'm sure, some people. But seriously, it's dumb.
We should think about what we're talking about is forcing. And that's not the language we use, which is one of the things that
makes they call it a smart TV, too. TV is dumb. So dumb.
It's dumb as shit. Like, we are forcing people to adapt to a world that is not real.
I think you're right.
Oh
man, none of that shit's real.
That's not real, man. It's not real.
Of it's real.
And we're becoming too comfortable with making people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
We should feel less comfortable. No different than I literally remember my grandfather not wanting to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah, what? I remember that.
What the fuck is that shit?
I remember that. You're invading my privacy. Yeah, do what I want.
Like, and now it's like if you act like if we're having this conversation about our opposition to tech, people look at us like, you dinosaurs.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Like, this is the best time to be a human. And I'm like, no,
I don't know. Idiot. I don't know.
No. Oh, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Just like, what'd you say? Jocko?
Yeah, I definitely know. That's some shit scares the crap out of me, man. We watched a movie. It's called Terminator.
Yeah.
Shit's coming, man.
It's coming.
I don't worry about zombie.
Inevitable.
People talk about zombie apocalypse. How you prepare? Man, I'm preparing for the AI bot apocalypse.
It's gotta happen. It's inevitable.
I think so.
Like, there's gotta, because you gotta think about, I was talking to somebody this the other day because we were talking about the new supercomputers they're coming out with. What are they called?
I don't know, but
like there's a race to make it.
You scare me.
There's like four different companies that are trying to make it. There was a whole episode on 60 Minutes about it. I can't remember the name of the computer, but it can like, it's like real time processing.
Oh man,
I forgot that. I mean, it's a big deal right now.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. They've been trying to do that for company, 20 years.
They finally feel like they finally made a breakthrough on having the right materials to make the computer function.
Wow. That's very organic. Like our brains do real time processing. You know? And like, if you have a computer that can do that and it's artificially intelligent, like that's scary as fuck.
Like,
that's Terminator, bro.
What? And the reason why is because a human can't run it. A human brain isn't fast enough.
Right.
So you have to have a computer that can run the computer.
You know what tripped me out was the Apple. Yep, for sure. The Apple glasses that they just came out with. Mm-hmm. And they have, I'm trying to get the name right. It's called Pass Through.
Yes.
So I don't know if you looked into that. So you put it on and you turn on pass-through mode and it's like you're looking through glasses.
Yes.
But it's not. It's a screen.
Yeah.
And there's cameras that are taking a picture of what's in front of you and it's interpreting it and showing you
a real-time
render of what is in front of you. Mm-hmm. And that's how they overlay all the computer stuff on there. And I'm like, that trips me the hell out.
Yeah.
The reality, like I put those on and it's augmented reality for real. You know?
If it operates too fast for a human brain to manage, that means you have to have a computer to manage it. That means the computer is in control.
Yeah.
And that it's inevitable. Like it's inevitable. Like yeah. when I was, I think I watched the 60 Minutes episode when they were talking about that form of computing too. And all I was thinking was humans can't manage that. You're literally building a system yeah. that humans cannot manage. Yeah. Like yeah. how is this going to go well? Mm-mm. I mean, mm-hmm. did we, am I the only one that saw Ultron? Am I the only one?
I know. We all watched that, man.
We all watched it, man. It's only a matter of time. And again, like, you know, and so I like I always do, I encourage people to just get as media literate as you can.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't find a workshop, go online and find sources like Nomly or us at OTR and get some tips and tricks how you can become literate in the screen world. And as much as you can, try to advocate for adaptation to any type of tech. I think that's what I think that's at the least what people could push.
Yeah.
Because even in our jobs, like, or when we're interacting with clients, there's always some kind of new tech that's being introduced.
Yep.
But there's very little adaptation to that tech. So right. at the very least, right. you know, hey, can you show me how this works and what to do if it doesn't, if it breaks? Because I remember we were talking about websites and like, you know, back end and front end. It's like, I don't know how this shit works. All I know is when I put the numbers in, it works.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I think we coined the phrase. So if anybody uses it, you owe us money. But, you know, media literacy is self-defense. Like we've said that before. And that really changed how I think about it. And if this is the first time you've heard that, go back and listen to that episode.
It's yeah.
But yeah, media literacy is self-defense.
100%.
You changed my brain on that one, man.
Good.
Well, dude, as always,
thank you, Gene.
I love the conversation.
I always
thank you for coming back.
And send me that Jocko.
Jocko, baby. Send me that Jocko. We're going to get you hooked up. We're going to get you hooked up. We're going to change your life.
I'm going to watch it in the car.
So I'm going to hook you up.
We're back.
Hey, man. All right.